You're listening to SpursCast, episode 581. My name is Paul Garcia, and I'm your host here on the SpursCast. Today, I'll be joined by fellow Project Spurs writer, Josh Paredes. In this episode, Josh and I will analyze the Spurs' first scrimmage game that resulted in a loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's get started. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, welcome. This is actually your first time on the SpursCast. SpursCast listeners, if you've been checking out ProjectSpurs.com, you've probably seen Josh's writing up. He's been writing weekly some pieces ranking the Spurs international players. So if you've read those articles, this is actually the guy who writes those articles. I actually know Josh because can you give the listeners a background of how you and I know each other, what site you're working for?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I was actually doing some statistical work for the Spurs, not really for the team, but there's a company that hires people to track stuff like that for betting purposes and all these other purposes. And I've been going to some games. This is the season where I started doing that, and I come across you because you know you're always there for Project Spurs, you know, writing about the games and stuff. So that's kind of how we met. It wasn't really Project Spurs related, but here I am now.
Yeah, so welcome, you know, Josh, to the podcast, and yeah, so you know, we got to know each other. We at the Spurs Media Dining Room, we got to, you know, hang out and stuff. Yeah. So we're glad here at Project Spurs to have Josh on the staff. So let's go ahead and get into this. I mean, it's obviously limited data. It's only one scrimmage game in this new bubble environment. So let's go ahead and jump right into this this first Spurs game that they played. And so just some initial takeaways and observations. You know, they did lose 113-92, so by 21 points, it was pretty close in the first half. But then in the third quarter, Milwaukee just became who Milwaukee is, and they basically. Just made this game explode and went up by like 19 points. Some interesting notes. Becky Hammon got to coach the whole game. She was the head coach for this game. Then Mitch Johnson, the assistant coach, will coach the game on Saturday against the Nets. And then Will Hardy will take over for head coach on Tuesday against the Pacers. So this is Coach Pop doing what he normally does, like in the preseason or in summer league, where he lets his assistants actually become the head coaches for games, gives them that experience. And then Pop will obviously, you know, come back and take the helm for the real seeding games that begin on July 31st. One other note for the Spurs in this game was just something a lot of fans were happy about. The Spurs actually put forth one of their best defensive lineups to start the game. They started DeJounte Murray at the point, Derek White at the two, Lonnie Walker the fourth at the three, and then DeMar DeRozan at the four, and Jakob Poeltl at the five. So that was obviously, you know, the end result wasn't what you wanted to see, but obviously, you know, if they keep going with this group, that's going to be something really exciting for the fan base to see, because, you know, just me too as well, I was always one of those people who was upset that Derek and DeJounte never got any minutes together. Well, now they're getting minutes together, but not only that, you're throwing Lonnie Walker in there with them. One quote from Becky Hammon on that starting group, she said, "We're hoping to get some defense, some pace, which is why she started them." Now, she didn't, you know, clarify if they're going to be the consistent group going forward, but she said they are going to experiment with different lineups, and that's one of the lineups they want to try out.
Right.
One other note, Patty Mills did not play in this game. You know, he's been practicing, you know, these last 2 weeks with the Spurs, so I don't think he's injured. It was just more so probably their call to just give some of the younger guys some minutes and, you know, not rush everybody back. And then just overall, my takeaway was that they did look a little sloppy. You know, it's been 4 months since they played together as a team. There's a bunch of new lineups. So Josh, without getting too much into the offense and defense just yet, what were some of your initial takeaways from this game?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I had, as well as most people that were watching, pretty excited about the starting lineup. You know, I like that they're changing it up a little bit. I mean, obviously they had to, but, you know, when you look at who's out there, you see DeMar out there, you know, mostly to carry the offense. Murray and Poeltl for defensive purposes. White, kind of a two-way. Lonnie, always an X factor. Like, you never know what to expect with him. That was one of the major things. And I know, I believe they said they're going to be, experimenting with it going forward. They're probably going to have a couple of different lineups during these next two scrimmage games.
Yes. Becky said that.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, yeah, it's just going to be interesting to see. I kind of what we're used to as Spurs fans this season is, you know, they'll be in the game for a good half, maybe three quarters of the game. And then, you know, they have the third quarter woes that will hit them at some point. Or it could just be a stretch where they go flat. I feel like that's definitely what happened in the third quarter. But then again, you know, you can't really expect a lot. You know, over 4 months off, you're playing one of the favorites of, you know, they're playing Giannis. You know, I believe they said they were going to play him this scrimmage game more than the next two. So unfortunate for the Spurs, but there's a bigger picture you got to worry about.
Yeah, for sure. So now let's go ahead and you know, yeah, again, Sparscast listeners, we want to take this this game not too you know, detailed, because again, it is just a scrimmage game. It's basically, we're treating this like a preseason game, but there are some things we want to discuss, just because it's the only game that we have to talk about. So let's first focus on the area of concern for the Spurs, which of course continues to be defense, even with this, you know, these younger players and more athletic players, better defenders, they still had their issues on defense. So they allowed 113 points in a 40-minute game. So you have to remember again that this was a 40-minute game. There was 10-minute quarter. And the Bucks still put up 113 points on their defense. It was really like I mentioned with Josh, it was that third quarter where the Bucks scored 38 points. They really just went off there, and that was something that Josh talked about, how during the season that was their issue, was those third quarter woes. Let's talk about first the inside, near the paint. 51% of the Bucks' shots. I mean, no. First, let's talk about the outside. I'm sorry. From three, 51% of the Bucks' shots came from three. They actually didn't shoot it well. They only shot 30% on three, and that's actually, you know, it could have been worse. More than 20 points had the Bucks actually been making their three. So
only the Lopez brothers seem to be the ones just nailing everything for some reason from out there.
For sure. So you know, the Spurs were kind of spared in that way, but they still did outscore San Antonio by 12 points from three. Like Josh just mentioned there, Brook Lopez goes 9 of his 18 points come from three. What were some of your observations about their defense from three on Spurs, Josh?
Well, I did like, you know, I know that Giannis is capable of hitting those, but, you know, compared to the alternative, it's probably the right decision to go under and let him shoot those. I know that Pirtle did that a few times, and Giannis was looking way off on a couple of those first, you know, outside shots. I know Korver was kind of slow getting going in the first quarter also, but then I did notice in the second when Marco came in and he kind of got lost on a screen, and that's when Korver got loose. There's just little mistakes like that are going to come back to haunt, especially when teams are actually hitting their threes at a better clip. So that's when you want your guys out there, like, you know, like White and Murray and the guys that kind of, and Lonnie, that can kind of switch. They're athletic. They're quick, versatile. But unfortunately, you know, they can't play all, I guess, 40 minutes in this case. So there's going to be those lapses, unfortunately, with the personnel they have right now.
For sure. So let's move over to the next area where the Bucks executed from. 43% of their shots came from the paint. You know, they scored very well there. Obviously, when you have Giannis, who can just easily just walk in and dunk the ball from whether you're in half court or in the full court. He did that several times. So they shoot 68% the Bucks from the paint. Giannis, 16 of his 22 points come from there. Pirtle did have two blocks, you know, of note. But you know, that was just the main issue, was that Giannis is just a problem. I mean, it's not just for the Spurs. He's a problem for anyone. That's the reason why he's probably going to win the MVP.
Right.
What were your thoughts on their defense interior?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's not much you can do with Giannis, and you know, they also did have a problem containing Brook inside, you know, on the glass sometimes.
Oh,
I
yes.
was noticing, but you know, obviously you want to have Pirtle out there as much as you can in the interior. He's also a really good help defender. You saw that block he had in the corner against Korver, which you don't normally see from 7-footers, but you know, you're gonna just have to give up shots in the paint against the Bucks. It's the bottom line, no matter what team you are, because it's impossible to stop Giannis. So,
yeah, for sure. And yeah, I forgot to note, that was a good thought from you about Lopez. He had a few post ups against the Spurs.
Yeah.
And then the other area where the Bucks scored really well from was the free throw line. You know, again, when you have Giannis, you're gonna get to the free throw line. So they make 27 free throws as a team. They outscored San Antonio by 13 from the line. And for the Spurs, actually, Chris Middleton was a big issue, especially in that third quarter. It was a slow start to the third quarter, and Chris Middleton continued to get foul calls, and he ends up making 7 free throws in that game. And then just one other area that was really concerning for the Spurs was actually their offense. The fact they had 22 turnovers, and that resulted in 31 points for the Bucks. Now, one thing you do want to take away is that the Spurs, you know, once they get more games under their belt, they're going to be a little bit better at not turning the ball over, because they're usually number one in the league at ball security. So that was obviously an issue. And like I mentioned, it's new lineups. Players haven't played together in months, yada, yada. So that was a big issue. I remember several plays where it was almost like a practice where the Spurs would try to throw like a pass across some, you know, the court, and several Bucks players would easily just like intercept and take off for a dunk or a layup.
Right.
And that was on multiple. So again, that all goes back to this being just the first game. Some quotes from the players and coaches. Coach Becky Hammond said on the defense, we got to get better on the defensive side of the ball. There's a list of things we can do better defensively. We're not afraid to try things different. So again, that goes to the players, that message of like, if you're not playing defense, you know, there's going to be a chance you're not going to play in a lot of these games. And then Lonnie Walker IV also said, that's the end all be all of this team. That's why we weren't a playoff team, because of the defense. So again, Lonnie continues to harp that defensive message. Was there any other thoughts you had, Josh, regarding the defense?
Yeah, that last quote by Lonnie, I think, just says it all right there. I mean, you know, back in the glory days of the Spurs, they were always, you know, one of the top defensive teams in the league. And that's, you know, because you can't always rely on your offense to be on. You're going to be missing shots at some point, but you can always rely on a heavy defense, you know. So I think that was a good thing that he already knows at such a young age that that's the key to succeeding and possibly making the playoffs. It's a long shot, but I mean, if they can kind of get it together here and go on a little bit of run, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move over to the offense now. 44% of the Spurs' shots came from the paint. They scored well from there. They made 62% of their shots when they got in there. DeJounte Murray, 10 of his 13 points that he scores came from the paint, leading the team in that area. And then also Jakob Poeltl, you know, pretty much fed off like dribble drive penetration. He ends up finishing with 8 points in the paint. Did you have any thoughts on their paint on offense?
Yeah, I did. I did like Murray's aggressiveness in there. I mean, he's kind of getting, he's mixing that with his mid-range jumper that he was developing during the season, kind of more Tony Parker-esque if you consider that he's being able to do both of those now. Jakob Poeltl, he's really a good position player. He knows where to be. He knows, like, if his man's cheating, to get to a certain spot. I believe there was a nice feed from Marco into him. There was a couple other nice plays. He kind of reminds me of Splitter sometimes. I don't know if it's because I've been writing all the international player. Yeah. You know, I was just writing about him recently, and he's just always knew where to be. He had a good IQ on the floor and how to get easy shots. So I was impressed with their interior offense, considering, you know, how good the Bucks are defensively.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, he's really smooth and just setting a pick and kind of just rolling away and always catching those passes and finishing there at the rim. Very similar to Thiago, like you mentioned there. So then the second area where the Spurs took the most shots from was the three-point line. 30% of their shots came from there. They actually shot it pretty well. Again, for being off for 4 months, they actually shot pretty well from 35% accuracy. Just two notable players in this department. Lonnie Walker, the fourth and third quarter, he made two threes that were corner threes. And then Rudy Gay also made two threes as well in this game. So I mean, they kicked the ball around again. It was tough to look at this data until we get, like, you know, full 12-minute quarters again. Did you have any thoughts on their shooting from three?
Yeah, I did. I was really encouraged by the corner threes from Lonnie. The corner three has historically always been important for the Spurs. You know, Sean Elliott, Bruce Bowen, that was his spot. I mean, if Walker can continue to find himself open over there off drives and kicks and everything, then I think that could be really good for him. He's been hitting that with more regularity. I believe he hit a couple in that big Houston game that, I mean, he was hitting from everywhere, honestly, but it's good to see just like any other team, when they're hitting their threes, they're going to have a chance. And it's good to see some of the younger guys getting involved in making those threes.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, they made 14 free throws. There wasn't a player to me that stuck out that got to the line that many times. Keldon Johnson got there. He made 4 free throws, it looks like, when you look at the box score. And then again, just like I mentioned, it was pretty much on offense. It was their turnovers, 22 turnovers. Like, that's probably not going to be a huge issue for them going forward, because again, they're one of the best teams actually of ball security. They're actually the best in the league. I know that they did lose LaMarcus and Trey Lyles for this restart, but again, those aren't your two guys who are using hand of the ball. So, you know, bringing it up and executing, initiating half court offense. So they should be fine in that department once they get more reps under their belt. And then just the leading scorer in the game was Lonnie Walker IV. Again, 14 points he finishes with. And they were all scored in the second half. He didn't score in the first half. 6 points from three for him, 6 points in the paint, and then two from the free throw line. DeJounte Murray also spoke with the media after the game. His interview was a little bit different than Lonnie and Becky. You know, Lonnie and Becky were very much, you know, they were very disappointed with the defense and, you know, the way that they're playing. DeJounte was more like just saying, like, there's a bigger picture here. We know that this is just a scrimmage. Like, he didn't want to get too detailed into the team's performance. He's like, look, he was concerned, obviously, but not like, you know, he understands it's just a scrimmage game, especially the first one in 4 months. Did you have any closing thoughts on their offense?
About the offense, I mean, just like you would expect, everybody came out sloppy, kind of, especially the turnovers. I was thinking maybe considering the Bucks, you know, their defense is so good and it has been for a while, that maybe they force a lot of turnovers. They're actually 18th in the league, so they're not really special there. But I think a lot of it was just sloppiness on the Spurs end.
Yeah.
It was kind of just like, you know, DeMar driving in and then, you know, kicking it out, and there's just long arms of the Bucks. Multiple guards were doing that. So I wouldn't really pay too much attention to this game in terms of like it's going to be a long-term issue. Now if they go in and, you know, play the Nets and start playing like this, then maybe we can start being concerned about the turnover aspect of it. But as far as the offense in general, I'd like the energy in the first half. I liked all the young guys. They seemed very like just happy to be back out there, and we're all happy to watch it, and hopefully they can build off of that first half and kind of learn from the second.
Yeah, and you know, like you mentioned earlier, we don't know for sure if this will be the, you know, the continued starting lineup. Obviously, a lot of people hope that it will be, but you know, we just never know. And one thing you do notice is that, you know, you look at just the players coming off the bench. If this is the case, I mean, that's some trouble with our Bryn Forbes. You know, Marco Bellinelli, assuming Patty Mills will be back. Patty Mills, you know, they're not going to have a great defensive. If they do use a lot of their best defensive players to start a game, they're going to have a lot of trouble with that second unit. So that's obviously something to watch in the future. But again, it's only been one game. We don't know what's going to happen. Their next game is on Saturday against the Brooklyn Nets. Josh, did you have any other topics or questions you want to address here on the Spurscast?
I believe I saw something on Twitter. I don't know if maybe you remember this quote from, I'm not sure who it was, that they were saying that there weren't any positives to take from this game or something.
That was Lonnie Walker.
Yeah. Okay. Like, was that part of a bigger quote? Do you remember? Or just, was he
let
just
me pull
kinda
it up real quick.
Okay. Yeah.
No. Like I said, Lonnie and Becky were not happy about
it. Yeah.
You know, they, DeJounte was a little bit more, what did Lonnie say here? We're not, it's our first time playing together. Oh, we got our tail whooped. Yeah, he was not excited about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just, I didn't get the full quote, but that, yeah, pretty much that was his message.
That's probably just more of the competitive side of, you know, him, just, you know, but I'm sure he knows there's a lot that can improve, and it's kind of his way of expressing it. I was just curious because I saw just that one part of the quote, but other than that, yeah, I don't know if there's anything else that you took away from the game.
No, just kind of bouncing off that, like, you know, basically, like, all these last 2 weeks of interviews, you know, we've been hearing how, like, they're all locked in, they're acting like it's a playoff environment. So, like, I think that from that aspect, even Coach Becky Hammond said, you know, we didn't execute what we were doing in practice. Like, basically, it was almost like they had this mindset where they really thought they was gonna be like a super competitive team, I think, and then for them to just come out and again still have the same issues, even though it was a scrimmage, you know, to still get that's really, you know, that's really I would say deflating when you're trying, you know, when you feel like you have something going and you're ready to go, like it's like a fresh start, like they've been saying, and then all of a sudden you lose by 21 points, and like by the third quarter we knew it was over, they were down by 19. And again, it's just a scrimmage,
right?
But you know, it can be deflating to the coaching staff and also to some of the players, like Lonnie, who you know, DeJounte's more that guy who doesn't get too high or too low on anything, so he's, you know, he's that type of player who's like, basically it's just a scrimmage, like he's not gonna, you know, get bent out of shape out of that one loss. So that was the Spurs' first game. Did you have any other comments?
I was gonna say, I think just as the fan, like fans and staff and players alike, you got to have a healthy balance of, you know, you got to know that you're not just gonna be where you want to be in the first game. You know, it's been 136 days since they beat the Mavericks, before the shutdown. So obviously there's going to be some issues. You got to be aware of them, but I wouldn't really take too much to heart about some of the issues that happened against, you know, probably an NBA finals, participant. So you got to have a balance there as a fan or as a staff, I would think.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so Spurscast listeners, make sure that you're checking out ProjectSpurs.com, some of our latest pieces up there. If you want to follow along during Spurs games for the scrimmages and also for the seeding games, I've released a Spurs restart shot location box score. So again, it's just like your traditional box score, but instead this time it's showing you exactly where the Spurs players are scoring from. It also throws in some other advanced numbers that I like to pay attention to in terms of like points per shot and things like that. So make sure you check that out during the Spurs games. We'll be promoting that over on Twitter. Josh has been writing, like I mentioned, every week he's been writing his pieces called Ranking Every International Spur Ever. And then so the latest one that he has online is 20 through 11. So again, it's just a really good way to catch up and see, you know, who's played on the Spurs. Josh, I gotta be honest with you, you know, I was I'm a mid 80s kid. I was born there. And, so I don't remember a lot of these players sometimes that you're mentioning. You know, I didn't really get serious into basketball. It's like more like the early 2000s. So yeah, that's something I'm learning a lot, honestly, and reading these pieces. So, yeah. So if you really wanted to have some history on the Spurs as international players, Josh does a great job with these pieces. Did you want to comment on these pieces that you've been writing?
Sure. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun doing it. I've actually learned a lot also. There's some players that I hadn't even heard of that I had to write about and kind of just rank them based on what I know about their numbers and kind of what I read about them. I believe that I'm pretty much almost complete with the top 10, which should be on Project Spurs very soon. And there is one in there that is a surprise to me, actually. So that's something to look forward to. But it's been a lot of fun kind of trying to figure out where each person goes and why and giving my reasoning. And yeah, the top 10 should be out very soon. I'm sure everybody knows who the top two will be, but it's going to be interesting to see where they're going to all land when it comes out.
Yeah, for sure. And even like the way you put the list together was really interesting too, because we think of some of these players who have, you know, more of the players that we know of aside from, you know, Parker and Ginobili, where they're more like in the Spurs lore, but really they didn't spend that much time with the organization. So it was just the fact that they had these like really impactful playoff games, with the team when they were there, on the squad. So yeah, that's an interesting series to read. So I do, recommend that for all Spurscast listeners to check that out on projectspurs.com. And then also if you visit our other Project Spurs network site called analyzingtheleague.com, I've put together these restart guides for all 22 teams in the bubble. So they're just really quick ways to see where teams left off at the pause of the season. And I kind of like it because like you can look at the data from today and you can kind of look compare that to where they left off exactly. And you can see, you know, did the Bucks take this many threes like they normally do? Did they not? You know, that kind of thing. And that's also like what I talk about with the Spurs. Like it just right away told you that they were the best team in ball security. And then of course to see them turn over the ball 22 times today, it was really easy to say, oh, that's a huge issue today. But again, that's not an issue we're going to think is going to be there for them. You know, they're going to get that under control because that's typically what this team does. So, yeah. So again, thanks again to Josh for joining me on Spurscast on this episode 581. Thanks also to Michael DeLeon for producing this episode. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.